Open your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 1 Samuel chapter 3. First Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou calledst me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, that if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Okay, so there's a few things that we want to talk about in this chapter by way of special notice before we run through the chapter in its entirety. When Samuel talks to Eli at the end of this threefold process of receiving this prophecy from the Lord, or we might say a fourfold process, Samuel is reluctant to tell Eli what he heard. And Eli does what? Well, Eli does what was within the authority of the high priest to do. He offers him a curse if he will not tell him. The same Eli that offered him a curse offered Hannah a blessing earlier in the last chapter and said what? The Lord give thee many children of this woman. And what did the Lord do? 5 children. Here, there is a curse that comes authoritatively from the officer in the church, the high priest. And note that Samuel understands that that is an authoritative deliverance. And so he tells him everything and does not hold back one whit. So Samuel understood the importance of that, of seeking the blessing and avoiding the cursing of those who are over us in the Lord. Secondly, there is a fourfold call to Samuel, and then Eli calls him the fifth time. And what does Samuel say in regard to each of those callings? Well, the Hebrew word is hineni. Here I am, or behold, here I am, Lord. Right? The implication of that is what? Command your servant whatever it is that you will. And so we see, by way of special notice, the introduction here to the chapter. We see Samuel's wonderful and great example of obedience, what it means to be called by a superior, not only in respecting the blessing and the cursing of the superior, but also whenever he thought that, or when he thought it was Eli calling him, that didn't slow him down. You know, the third time he shows up, at Eli's bedside, and Eli says, okay, this must be the Lord. Remember that this is the third time. How many of us would be inclined to say, okay, well, the other two times he didn't, he said it wasn't him, so why should I get up at all? Right? But every time Samuel hears the call, he rises. And then when Eli tells him something in the fifth instance, come here, and I want to talk to you, he says, Hineni, here I am. And then the other thing, by way of special notice, I hope you saw it. Notice in verse 9, look specifically with me at verse 9. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be that if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Take a look at the Lord there. What is it? It's the tetragrammaton. It's the special covenant name of God. So this isn't some nondescript Lord. Eli knows who is calling to Samuel. Samuel is to call upon him in return as not just Adonai, not just my master, not just my Lord in that sense, but he is to call upon him in return as Yahweh, in other words, the Lord of the covenant, the promise-honoring, covenant-keeping God. Okay? So those things by special notice. Now, what do we have in the passage? Well, maybe by way of special notice, we've already exhausted everything that there is to say about the passage. Not exactly so. I mean, we have a young man. Don't know exactly how old Samuel is here. We assume he's still a youth. And so here he is laying in bed, and in the middle of the night, this voice he hears, he thinks it's Eli. And 3 times he runs to Eli's bedside and says, you called me, what is it that you need? And so, again, we see the great heart, the obedient heart of Samuel, wanting to serve, not, you know, a man who is not his father, right? A man who is indeed his mentor, who has taken over the care of him, but not his father. And yet his obedience and affection for him are unabated. Secondly, there's a point at which the narrator says, now Samuel did not know the Lord, neither had he heard the voice of the Lord until now. When it says that Samuel did not know the Lord, I think the context, understanding that in a proper context, would be that this is why Samuel didn't know the voice that was speaking to him. In other words, he did not know the Lord by voice. That when the Lord spoke to him in the middle of the night, that he didn't know that voice as it spoke to him, and so he assumed it was Eli. It's not saying that Samuel was as yet unregenerate. I don't think that's what's being said. I think what's being said is the more practical matter of entering into the office of a prophet. And so Samuel did not know the Lord as a prophet of the Lord would know the Lord until this point in his life. All right, so then the third thing that we see in the passage is the curse of the Lord upon Eli's house, and that it will indeed come to pass. And there's another, I think, mollification, if you will, of the bare and absolute sense of the words. I won't speak dogmatically, but I'll speak by way of strong and informed opinion here, that I believe that Eli, although a sinner and although substandard in his office, I do not believe that Eli was a man unregenerated. I believe that he was. And one of the reasons that I believe that is because of the response that he has to the cursing of the Lord and Samuel's bringing it to him, that it will indeed come to pass, because he says, "It is the Lord, let him do what he seems, or what seems best to him, or what seems good to him." That his resignation to the will of God is not an unbelieving resignation, but a believing resignation to the will of God. And there are differences between those. So when it says, "I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever," I believe what the Lord is saying there is that there is no sacrifice and no offering that Eli can bring that will restore his house to the office of the priesthood. Okay? That the Lord is removing the family of Eli from the priesthood, never to be restored again. That window is closed, that opportunity is lost to Eli and to his offspring because of their wickedness in that office. I do not believe, however, that this speaks to Eli as a man who is an unbeliever. I think that Eli is a believer. That's my opinion. And I think that's evidenced in the way he responds to the cursing of the Lord. Notice that that the way that the Lord will do that is so arresting, so abrupt, that everyone that hears of it, that both of their ears shall tingle. Not very often the Scripture speaks in those kinds of affecting terms. But when we go on to read the narrative of the death of Hophni, Phinehas, and Eli, it is that kind of a day in Israel, without a doubt. There are several things that take place that day. The death of a woman, the birth of a son, the naming of the son, the glory departing, and there are all kinds of things that mark that day as an ear-tingling day. So these are real things. These are real and affecting things. It's not just stories. All right, so then the chapter ends with Samuel and his growing up before the Lord. And notice that the Lord did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, now this is obviously Dan after they've migrated, as that far north edge of Israel. Beersheba, the far south edge of Israel. So from one end of the country to the other, that's what we mean when we say from Dan to Beersheba. They all knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet before the Lord. Literally, that he was faithful, a faithful prophet of the Lord. Okay? And then we find out a little bit more detail on that, that the tabernacle was in Shiloh, and that's where the Lord met with Samuel, and that's where the Lord spoke to him. He revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So, again, what we've said about the first part of 1 Samuel is that it is the introduction of Samuel as a prophet, as a Levite, and as a leader in Israel until the time of the establishment of the monarchy in Saul. And so that's what we're doing. We're moving now a much more rapid pace toward the accession of Samuel to that leadership position in Israel. All right, with that then, let's stand and